Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening. This is Walls in Our Minds. I am Terry Dodd, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, Red Beckman, and Dr. Kate. Red, how are you doing?
I'm here.
Dr. Kate, would you care to say hello? I guess
good
not.
Evening, everyone. This is Dr. Kate. Hi, Red. Hi, Terry.
Good evening. Red, I'm going to open us with a prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to kind of give us an intro to this show this evening. We put out the word that the phone lines are open, and hopefully we'll get some folks calling in. And I think there's going to be a lot of room for discussion tonight and going forward into the future. So let's open this in prayer. I think that's the only proper thing to do. Almighty Heavenly Father, we come before you humbled that you have created everything in existence. We acknowledge you as the one and only true God, and we are just in awe of how you have demonstrated your love in so many ways, even to the point of sending your Son and putting him on a cross, and allowing him to pay the price for each and every one of us. We're just thankful to have this opportunity to share our thoughts this night. And we pray, Father, that you would take control of this show, that you would take control of each one of us, that your Spirit would go before us, and that you would show us the path that you wish for us to travel. Give us courage to speak out, even on the things that may be controversial. We know that your Son was very controversial. He did not back down, not even in the threat of life and death. So we ask you to just lift us up and take control of our lips and our thoughts. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, Red, this is an exciting moment because I believe we are headed into some uncharted territory.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think what I'm going to say here is somewhat of a confession, because I'm rather upset with myself, with not recognizing something that is so happening and it is so visible, and it is so much a part of our world political situation. And I missed it. I've got to admit that I was not paying attention, I guess. I just did not recognize it. And I'm reminded of Christ in John, the 8th chapter, in verse 32, he made the comment, "Know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And knowing the truth, is something that should be the goal of every Christian. Finding the truth. Belief isn't sufficient. We need to know. You know, the Democrats, they have a belief system, and the Republicans have a belief system, and the Muslims have a belief system, and the Baptists have a belief system, and there's a tremendous amount of contention between these different belief systems. And so I think it's very important that we have a love of truth. And, of course, we read about that in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, where it says that if we have not received the love of truth, we're going to perish. We're not going to be saved. So to start out, I'll say that I went to church all my life because my father was a country preacher. Now, I'm well past the 83 mark in my age, and so I've been around quite a while, and there has been a verse of scripture that has bothered me somewhat for quite some time, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and the third verse. The Apostle Paul is being asked, when was Christ coming back? And he said there would be a falling away first. And I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I think that in my years, I have seen a tremendous falling away from the truth of the gospel. And I look back and I remember some fire and brimstone preachers and such, and they, well, I remember one in particular. Held a revival in a small town in South Dakota, and there was 120-some-odd people that came forward in about a week or two-week revival. And the most of the preachers of that day, and my father, I have to use him as an example because he had had a miracle. He had gone to a tent revival, and he had a habit. He had a problem because he had been chewing Copenhagen snuff since he was in his, 6, 7, 8 years old. And here he was up in his early 30s, and he has a terrible habit, and it has such a grip on him. And he went to a tent revival, and that preacher got up there, and he preached a powerful sermon, apparently, because my father went down and to the altar, and when he headed for home in our 1929 Model A, my mother was crying. She was in the car, and she was crying because she had been a Lutheran parochial school teacher. And this was just not according to what she had, been taught and educated for. On the way home, my father reached in his pocket. He rolled the window down and threw his snuff can out the window. And my mother always said, she kind of laughed to herself and said, well, in the middle of the night while he'll be on his way back to town to get some more snuff because he just can't get along without it. But he never went back to it because God cleaned him up. God took care of it. And the rest of his life, that was his testimony. That was the power. That was the story that he told when he witnessed to people. And he witnessed to people, I think, every day of his life almost, at least up until he was about 90. And he would tell about this miracle. And most of the preachers of that time had had miracles. They had seen the mighty power of God. And they had felt the power of God. And when they got in the pulpit, they had a fire burning in their heart and in their soul. And I think that we have very few pastors out there today that are ministers of any kind that are have been the witnesses of tremendous miracles. God has his way of proving himself to people, and I think we're lacking something there. I think we've missed. And so, anyway, when I was growing up, and of course I had a severe illness, rheumatic fever when I was 18, and it almost killed me, and if it hadn't been for parents and family praying a lot of prayers for me, I don't think I would have made it to the age of 20. But it didn't have the effect on me that perhaps it should have. Anyway, I was recuperating from that, and I went to a Bible school, a country style Bible school of about 35 or 40 students, and we studied the scriptures. And the more I studied, the more confused I got, because it just seemed like there was a lot of things there that I just couldn't understand. And and so as I continued on, I saw some miracles in my own life. I saw some things happen that, you know, had an impact on me. And so I continued to go to church and all, but I had so many questions. And it wasn't till about roughly 40 years ago that it dawned on me. It just came to me somehow or other that Satan, Lucifer, the great accuser, has no authority, he has no power, other than the power that he can latch on to as we who are created in God's likeness. We were given a tremendous amount of power as individuals because of the likeness of God in us and the creativity. And it dawned on me that everything that God has ordained is there will be a satanic duplicate, a satanic counterfeit. And it just seemed like the scriptures opened up to me like never before, and it was a real breakthrough for me to recognize that there is always that satanic counterfeit to that which God has ordained, and many times you will spot the counterfeit. And that will point to the true, that which is being counterfeited. And if you can identify the counterfeit, it confirms that which is real. And so I became very disillusioned with organized religion. There was just too many problems there. And of course, 1 Corinthians 14:33 is where the Apostle Paul, he said, God is not the author of confusion. When I wrote my book, Born Again Republic, in 1980, I said there's more confusion in the religious world than there is in the political world. And I've never changed my thinking on that. And so if there is confusion in the religious world, we must have a serious problem there of Lucifer having, being up to his tricks, and he has caused this massive amount of confusion. And so our world, our religious world, is in a state of confusion, and our political world is a state of confusion at this point in time. As I said, I'm reminded, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the Apostle Paul, when they were asking him about when Christ was coming back, and he said, except there come a falling away first. I believe I've seen this falling away in my lifetime. I don't think there's any question in my mind. I know there isn't a question in my mind. And there's probably those that would disagree with me. But the facts are there as far as I'm concerned. They're visible. And so, of course, I've had a certain amount of amusement. I've asked different people in the religious world, particularly pastors. I'd say, well, where was Lucifer when the earth was without form and void? He had been given planet Earth as his kingdom, as his dominion. He was to take dominion, and he fell away and went against his creator, and we know the story pretty well, I think. And the earth was cursed, and it was without form and void. When you read the first chapter of the book of Genesis, you get the picture. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the deep. And I go back to that because I think it's good to start at the beginning. And I ask people, where was Lucifer when the earth was without form and void? And I just don't get any answers. I don't get any answers from people that have graduated from seminaries and been pastoring churches and such. And then I tell him, well, he's in heaven. He was created as a powerful spirit. And he has spent his time in heaven. And, of course, he's not cast out of heaven until the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations. There's two or three places in the scripture, Revelations 12, of course, 7 to 9, and Isaiah 13, war in heaven. And then it says that there's war in heaven, of all places. There's going to be war in heaven. And that's a truth that we haven't really thought about that much. But of course, when we read the Bible, we find that Lucifer decided that he was going to dethrone his creator, and of course we know that isn't going to work. But anyway, when I wrote my book, Born Again Republic, it was 30-some years ago, I said in there, I said that the federal income tax is a satanic counterfeit to the God-ordained 10% tithe, where we were to return to our Creator 10% of our productivity. And it was a voluntary thing. We were to return 10% to our Creator. And we all know that the income tax, they tell us that it is voluntary, but a lot of people have found out that if you don't volunteer, you go to jail. And I brought it out in the book how that the federal income tax is the counterfeit to the God-ordained, biblically defined 10% tithe. And I've, over the years, I have tried to watch for these incidents where we could readily see, we could have the comparison between the counterfeit that Satan has created against the real, the true, which was created by our Creator. And then, of course, here in the last two or three years, I've been on this talk show with Terry and Dr. Kate, and we have spent quite a bit of time in different programs. We spent two or three or four weeks, I don't remember how many weeks we spent on the Klamath River problem in Northern California and Southern Oregon. And we've talked about Agenda 21. And, of course, we read the Patriot papers and information, and we talk about, or we read about Obama, and we read about different political figures, and we call them globalists. And it just never registered for some reason or other that the Lord Jesus Christ is planning on coming back to this planet and setting up his kingdom. And it'll be worldwide. You read it in the scriptures, and it'll be a worldwide kingdom. And so I am convinced that Christ is a true globalist. Obama is a false globalist. We've got a whole gang of these international thieves and shysters, bankers in particular, and such that are working. We're working very hard to bring about this one world government. They call it the New World Order. And that is the New World Order. When they talk about the New World Order, where did they get that? The income tax came right out of the scripture and the tithe, and the New World Order, I think, the term that these globalists are using originated right in our Holy Scriptures. And it irritates me personally, no end, the fact that I have read over the past several years a tremendous amount of material about the Agenda 21 and their program. They've got an idea. They want to wipe out a major portion of the population on planet Earth, and you might say have their own little world. These globalists, they want a one world government, and of course I've been reminded of I don't know how often I have thought about how Christ was tempted in the wilderness And then at the end of the 40 days in the wilderness, Lucifer took him up on a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, if you will bow down and serve me, I will give you all of this. And he goes on in Luke 4, 6, and he says, for these were presented to me. These were presented to him when he was created, and he was given the position of administrator of planet Earth. And that was only had value as long as he served his creator properly. And of course, he was a powerful spirit because God created him with the power of choice. The same as he had created Adam with the power of choice. He could choose to disobey, which he did. And the whole earth has been damaged by his actions. And this whole earth has been damaged by the actions of Lucifer. Serving his creator as he should have, he made the wrong decisions. Now, the part that is really bothering me at this point in time is that I believe that the church world out there, the religious world, has missed the boat. I think that Lucifer has been very busy. He has subverted the religious, the religions of the world. He's subverted everything. What we've got is counterfeit churches. Christ has his church. He has his body. Of people, his faithful. But there are millions of people out there that belong to these various denominations, and they're so committed. So many of them were born into these denominations. And it's a tremendous problem for these people to get their minds wrapped around the fact that there has been a falling away. Christianity today is not the Christianity that I remember in the 1930s. There's no question in my mind that we have lost. We have been deceived because Lucifer has his minions out there. He put his special people in the seminaries and such, and teaching our new pastors and such, and they have lost the fire that they should have had in their souls, and they just don't have it anymore. And as a result, the New World Order has been able to function without any kind of awareness on the part of the Christian churches out there. They have not recognized that what we've got is a counterfeit. And that Christ he is the real globalist. He is the one that is going to come and set up a world kingdom. And there's not a day goes by, I don't think, but what I don't pray, the last prayer in the Bible, even so come, Lord Jesus. New World Order, such as the politicians are talking about. That I know what that is, and I'm not going to be suckered by it. But why haven't we recognized? And I myself, like I say, I've been very alert for the most part over the last 30, 40 years, watching for the counterfeits. agenda came along, 21 came along, and I absorbed everything that was put out. I think all the material and all the people that are out there lecturing that never say a word, never mention a word of the fact that the New World Order, as the political animals have got figured out, is a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit to the God-ordained plan for our Messiah King to come back and rule. And so how can we get the fire back? How can we get ministers out there that will recognize that this falling away has trapped them and that they need to repent and get that fire in their soul again. As I was thinking about this, I remembered a situation back in the early 40s. There was a pastor in an evangelical church back in Montana, and he was very hard to listen to because he was a slow speaker and he just didn't hold an audience. And he was an accomplished hunter, and he would go out when there wasn't a deer elk season. He'd go out and hunt coyotes and such, and he was very good at it. And then he had a mishap, and he slid and went over a cliff. I don't remember the whole story of how far he fell, but he took quite a fall, and he was not hurt. There was a lot of snow, and he was not hurt. But he was made very much aware that there is an almighty God and that he had been saved by the power of a great God, and it changed the man's ministry. I remember people talking about it, how prior to this he just didn't repented of his sins and he had a certain amount of commitment. Otherwise, he would not have been a pastor. But it wasn't until after he had that tremendous miracle of being saved by the miracle-working power of an almighty God. And it just made all of the difference in the world. And so perhaps this is what we should be praying for, that these people, these ministers and such would fall off a cliff. No, I'm not recommending that. However, we need to pray and we need to seek God's face and ask God to help us somehow or other to bring people to the knowledge that there is a falling away, that the gospel that is being preached is not the gospel that God would have preached to the people of this world at this point in time. So I'm looking at my clock, and I can see where I've gotten meandered quite a ways here, so I'll turn it back to you, Terry, at this point.
Well, I'm probably going to turn it to Dr. Kate pretty quickly. I don't think you meandered at all. I thought you said exactly what needed to be said, Red. And I was really glad to hear you bring out the term subvert, that we've been subverted, because we've talked a lot about subversion. We've even covered Yuri Bezmenov's lecture, where he was a KGB agent and now teaches people after his defection from there. He teaches about the systems of subversion. And all of that's very true. But my point is that the relationship between the falling away And the term subversion is perfect, because that's exactly what this falling away has been. It's been, and Bezmenov says, you cannot subvert an unwilling target. Well, I would go so far as to say that there cannot be a great falling away unless the people are a willing target. And I believe that we've already been that willing target. I believe that our country, and in fact the whole world, has already experienced this falling away. Dr. Kate, you know, is going to, I'm sure, fire up some questions here for us, but the fact of the matter is that there is a list that we can look at of the things that, what would be classified a falling away. Well, a counterfeit really serves a couple of purposes. One, it's a theft. But two, it's a manipulation. And the whole idea of those counterfeits is to distract from the real, from the important, from those things that you would not let go of if you were not a willing target. So we're responsible for that counterfeit. And let's just think about a few of those things. Killing the innocent, the murder of the innocent, God's creation, the theft of God's creation. You mentioned the tithe, the tax being a counterfeit of the tithe. That means that all this time we've been saying about how they've been ripping off the production of the people, what they've really been ripping off is God's portion of that production. The portion of it that he reserved has been stolen, and we've allowed that to happen. So we've talked about keeping God at the top of the pecking order, but in fact, by not focusing on the true globalist, the person who has in fact guaranteed us that there's going to be a one world religion and a one world governance at some point when he returns, his kingdom is already set up. So we already have a one world king, and that is the Son of God. So we're letting all of this subversion, this great deception, to come upon us. It's infiltrated everything now. We no longer have standing in the courts. We no longer have control of our school system and what our kids are taught. We've surrendered by way of entertainment almost all of our values. What's missing? If there's going to be a great falling away that hasn't happened yet, what's left to fall away? It's all gone. It's all been subverted, every bit of it. And the fact that God is at the top of the pecking order. We're giving these guys too much credit. They have subverted our own thinking to the point where we don't even believe that God's at the top of the pecking order anymore. If we did, if we knew that he was at the top of the pecking order, we wouldn't be concerned about this stuff. We would know that he's in charge, and we would give him that charge, and anybody that contested us, we would be an unwilling target of that subversion. Yet we still turn on the television set. We still send our kids to government schools. We still try to get resolution through a counterfeit court system. We still try to get resolution out of a counterfeit government. So this is where our thinking has to shift. We've got to no longer say that we're going to allow any of this to be subverted. And that's where we've got to draw the line in the sand. Kate, I know you've got questions or comments, so I'm going to turn the floor to you.
Well, good evening. This is an incredibly important discussion, and my first question and ask for everyone to contribute is right along the lines of what Terrio was talking about and what you started with, Red, in terms of he will not come back unless there be a great falling away. And you have highlighted a number of fallings away. And two things I'd like to also just add to that list of how essentially the falling away has led to counterfeits. Now, I grew up in the 70s. I went to college and went to a women's college, and I grew up during the time of quote-unquote feminism. And the feminism was, you know, you don't need men, you don't need anything, you can have it all, you can have everything. And as a result, I am 57, I have never had any children. And until my mother died, I hadn't realized, you know, and how I...
Kate, I'm not hearing you. I want to hear the rest of this story, so I want to be patient and let Kate get back in here. Kate, we're not hearing you. I hope you know that.
Oh, good. I'm glad, because I was swearing. Okay, so so what I hurt by was that my mother never got to hold my children. And what the lie was, and what we are supposed to do, the proper role of men and women, we are to procreate and take dominion. And, you know, the whole feminism and so many of the isms that we have are just a counterfeit, just a fake. And as a result of lots of people like me who should have had children, you know, to bring in and raise children, haven't, because we've been bought by that lie. The huge lie that murder is quote-unquote choice. And cover it up and justified by Article 4 of the Constitution on privacy. So I guess in privacy it's okay to murder. You know, these are the things I grew up with, and they are false. They're absolutely false. The second counterfeit family law, or the second one I want to raise, and just back to the first one, the whole idea of family law replacing God's law and the biblical concepts of family with quote-unquote family law and with gayness totally, you know, approved and so forth. And there's a section in Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 29, which I won't read, but only a few of them. But the Gentiles is guilty before God, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So being filled with all the things that were forbidden, which we were told, basically, which was God's law, things like wickedness, fornication, unrighteousness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, maligning, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. How many of the Ten Commandments do you hear violated in just those pieces? Okay, so just with regard to that, the second thing that I have become aware of since really listening to some of Kent Hovind's work is the abomination of quote-unquote science. Is the, you know, and I've read it in different people's books now, and I'm so glad to hear it because, you know, I had quote-unquote the best quote-unquote scientific training anyone could have. And I went all the way through my PhD in all of this stuff. And never once was I taught or really learned about creation. And science becomes a huge lie to cover up God's creation. And we talk about, you know, eternity is eternity, but when you basically make everyone believe that everything is millions and millions of years old and that we originated from, you know, some slime in a warm pool somewhere, and putting all the monies in science and people getting their degrees and all of this stuff, it is just an abomination. Because that takes away, so the simple truth is, if you have science, who needs God? And that, I was talking with someone just a few days ago, and I was explaining to them just my views on homosexuality, and that I believe that it was, I believe that it's wrong. It's against God's law. And what was so interesting was that this person I was talking with ended up saying, well, we know from science that, you know, people are not either heterosexual or homosexual. They're somewhere in between. We know from science. That's the thing that I heard. And from science justifies all the lusts of the flesh. And these are the abominations, because we are not to focus on that, to worship the creature instead of creation. We are worshiping ourselves and believe that, well, it doesn't matter, morality is so forth and so on, it doesn't matter, and besides, science says we can go either way. Well, that to me was just a huge issue. And science being the counterfeit of God's creation and God's natural law. The thing that has always amazed me about water is what a beautiful creation that was. And how water is part of everything. And sure, I can describe all the equations and so forth and so on, but the creation of water is a miracle. It's the miracle. It's life, just like life is a miracle. Okay, the third area that I'd like to point out in terms of the, quote, great falling away is law. The legal system has tried to replace God's law, has replaced God's law. We don't have any morality. We don't have any of God's law taught in law schools. We have all these abominations made up in these ridiculous things called standing. And the reinforcement, the legal system has been used to reinforce the counterfeit. The legal system is counterfeit, but it's also been used to reinforce the other counterfeit things like the taxes, like the churches, like the New World Order, like school and education. So when you put all of these together, and then I guess I would have to say that the last thing that I believe has been a falling away is the rise of all these ideologies, the ism, the communism, the progressivism, the liberalism, the conservatism. All of these things are designed to distract, but they are also counterfeits to, you know, the true law, God's law. So putting all these things together, I would say that just even in our discussion with the three of us, we've come up with a pretty solid list of the falling away, the great falling away that has happened. And my question back, even though I said I was going to ask a question about a half hour ago, my question back is the same as Terry's. What more falling away can we see, can we list? What more is there to come? As this is a pretty comprehensive list, and it suggests to me, and I know we'll think of a number of things, but it suggests to me that he is coming back. Now, it may be 25 years from now, as Red was saying the other day, but 25 years within the span of 6,000 years is a drop in the bucket. But these are the great fallings away, and I'm reminded of some other passage in Scripture which talks about the deceit and the deception that is going to be sent our way, and those who are willingly deceived. So when you bring in this New World Order and Agenda 21, absolutely that is the counterfeit. But what are we doing? Our energies are spent fighting this thing and fighting that thing and fighting this little aspect of Agenda 21, and we're caught in their system by fighting that. And so I think the whole idea about even the series of shows that we'll be presenting is, how do we break out of that, and what is the true focus that we should be focusing on? Anyway, I think I've said enough now too, so I'll turn it back to you, Terry and Red.
And what was your question?
What more? What other falling away? What other items have fallen away? Is there more falling away? Oh, and I'd surely be interested if either one of you felt I was on track, or were other things we could expand upon.
I believe that all it can do at this point is to continue along the path that it's been following, and that is that to come around to succumbing to this one world religion, which is really Luciferian, because it traverses all of the world religions, and I think that as bad as we think we've seen debauchery, I think it's going to get worse. And the one of the things that, the Scripture talks about the message being carried to every corner of the earth. And I believe that we've got to now take this message forward. And I think that as we find a few ears that will hear, I think we're going to find a lot of ears that will not hear at all. And that is a part of the proving that really must take place before we truly have Christ, one world governance, and this cleansing that's going to happen that only Christ can do. I that's the only answer I have. Red, do you have a different perspective?
Well, I think that when Christ comes, I think there is going to be a shifting prior to his return. What we need to do is confront the people out here, the conscientious, people that really would like to be true Christians and be a part of this new world order with our Messiah King Christ. We need to put the information out there so that there is a clear choice for people to make. Either for Christ or against him. I think that the good Lord wants a certain amount of sifting out those that are not sincere, those that are enjoying their sin and their debauchery and such to the point where they don't want anybody to disturb it. We want people to have a choice. I don't think the people in this country sitting in the church pews have really been confronted with the choice that they've had or that's there. And so I think that somehow or other we need to light some kind of a fire, a spark, start with a spark, I guess, and have people out there saying, "Here, thus saith the Lord." This is what we need to do if we want to be on God's side, on the Lord Jesus Christ, on His side, when this time of judgment comes. I was amazed when I did a study recently and thinking about how that it tells us that there's going to be heaven and earth is going to be shaken. It isn't going to be just a shaking here on planet Earth. The shaking is going to take place in heaven because Lucifer has been there as a spirit. He has the mobility of a spirit. And he is accusing Red Beckman. He's accusing Terry Dodd. He's accusing Dr. Kate of all kinds of things, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our he's our spokesperson. He's our representative before God the Father, and Lucifer is there, and he's confronting. He's the great accuser, and we're all being accused of all kinds of things, and we need to somehow or other, we need to get people to understand that the time is now when they're going to have to make a decision. Whose side are they going to be on? I often think of in the Old Testament, the story of Joshua. He says, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." You're going to have to make up your mind who you're going to serve. And so I think that's the message that we need to get out there. It's time to make a choice. There's been this falling away, and people have not been confronted with this important choice to make. And so... I know how the choice I've made, and I've made it. Now I'm more aware of the importance and the timing. I think the timing is for us to be very, very busy confronting people. And there's some better heads than mine out here that can do some of this, I'm sure, and because I'm well past my days of being anything but a cheering section. I just somehow or other, Dr. Kate has discussed these different things, and we need to get our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandkids, to understand that they need to make a choice. Don't waste your time saying, "Well, I'll take care of it tomorrow or whenever," because God has a time when all of this is going to happen, when heaven and earth are going to be shaken. And of course, you read Revelation's the 12th chapter, and Satan is cast out of heaven, and he goes on a terror streak because he knows his time is short, and so our time is short to make these decisions that we need to make, the choices. We need to confront the world. We need to confront our people and our families and in our communities. We need to confront them with the fact that it's time to make some choices. I'll turn it back to you, Terry.
Well, in my conversation with Kate the other day, we were talking about how bringing this message into the churches is going to be very divisive. Up until now, the divisiveness has been about how you do church, getting caught up in how you do things and disagreeing about that and disfellowshipping or splitting off or dividing the church because of not about the genuine king, but more about, you know, what am I getting out of this? Is this the type of worship service that lifts me up? You know, people are looking to feed self, and that has been the divisiveness. But now the divisiveness is going to be a taking out of the chaff, if you will. The divisiveness is separating those who are truly in Christ's church from those that are not. You take this message into these churches where they have basically been little more than social clubs, and you're going to find that there are real Christians everywhere, but they're probably in the minority. And this will divide them. So this message may not be very well received by many in church leadership. But we've got to bring this message, at least I do. I feel that this is a message that I've got to bring forward, and I believe that the only way that those doors are going to open is to put that focus on Christ, because they cannot argue with that message being brought forward if the focus is on Christ. Their arguments will land on deaf ears to those who are truly in Christ, because they will see that the spirit of the Antichrist is present. Does what I'm saying make sense? Kate, Red?
I think you're on target. Okay. I'm of the opinion that the modern-day technology that is available to us through the computer, all these different contraptions that the younger generation seem to be able to manipulate and control and utilize, I don't anticipate. I don't anticipate right at this moment. I don't anticipate seeing any great revivals breaking out in the churches. I used to call those churches the monuments to the brick factories. In fact, I think I called them that in a couple of my books. We don't need a church building. We don't need that. And my missus and I, we listen to a DVD every Sunday morning right in our living room. And an elderly pastor with 50 years or better pastoring experience puts out these DVDs. And we feel like we've been to church, and it's we don't have the distractions, the distractions of you know, the weird and such that I haven't been inside of a church service other than I was with some kinfolk one time, and it was a very large church, and here were people there in their shorts and their it looked like they were on their way to the beach, and you have to give the colored folks credit. When they go to church, they deck themselves out. They do a good job, and I have noticed this over the years, how that we have a tendency to get a little careless about being, presentable. Because we're going to be serving and worshiping the true God, and we want Him in the midst when we serve, when we go to church. And I guess I meandered too far here, so I'll let someone else speak up on this.
Kate, I believe we have a hand up on the switchboard. Kate, are you
Hello?
There?
Hello?
Chuck? Is this Chuck?
This is Jim Borland.
Oh, Jim Borland. Hello there. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just trying to survive this hot humidity down here in the south, and looking forward to the fall. An observation or two. I'm looking at the chat room, and there's maybe about a half a dozen or so people there. And with the topic that you've filled out for tonight, renewing the foundations of freedom, and to bring forth the second American Revolution, I think it's very telling with the topic like that, and for the times that we find ourselves, and with only six people in this discussion or on this forum, is pretty telling of where we are. And how tragically far we have to go. You would really almost think this takes on biblical proportions of a cursing upon the land for there not to be any more interest in participating in a discussion like this that's so accessible. And I think it goes back to, I've heard the term used falling away several times here tonight. And, it would be one thing as a nation when we remove the Ten Commandments out of the public square. It would be one thing if we didn't at the same time loud and have as our national motto, One Nation Under God and In God We Trust is our national motto. But for us to continue to loud those mottos and yet disavow the acknowledgement of God and flaunt almost every kind of corruption that the mind can conceive of, not only on our own children and ourselves, but broadcast it around the globe, how in the world can we expect not to have the judgments on the land, even a cursing on the land, and a cursing of apathy and indifference? It's just mind-boggling. I mean, you guys sound reasonably intelligent to me. You don't sound like a bunch of Fruit Loops or you just fell off the turnip wagon. So don't take it personal that there are no more people participating. But I have to assess that this is just a product of the judgments on the land, and good men have not held the line. And I sat here a minute ago just asking myself, where is it that good men would ever hold the line? We've had several opportunities. We could have done it on the Ten Commandments. We could have done it on legalized abortion. We could have done it, the veterans could have done it when they said that it was your First Amendment right to desecrate the American flag. We could have done it when they started this same-gender marriage. So you have to ask yourself, where is it that good men would ever come together, would ever associate themselves? And I'll borrow a phrase from Edmund Burke. He said that when evil men combine, the good must associate, else they will fall one by one. So I've sat here and I've kind of asked myself, where is it that good men would finally hold the line, associate themselves in defense of their liberty? And I can't, honestly, I can't conceive of where that line would be drawn. Because I've seen so many missed opportunities, and at this juncture, I can't imagine what it is that we would ever stand for. So that's my little say for tonight.
Do you have a particular question of any of us, Jim?
What do you folks suggest to be the focal? I mean, you know, as I've listened to you tonight, you, and I'm saying this in a constructive critique, you've been over a lot of different areas from what the main topic of the discussion was built out to be. And, you know, it reminds me of that phrase that says there are thousands that are hacking at branches to each one that's chopping at the root. And, you know, you can be on all kind of different peripheral issues. But what are the foundational issues that we're going to have to try to energize around as a hub to draw people in, as Washington says, to raise a standard that the wise and honest can repair? And if we can't
see, what we've been talking about is that there is really only one that is not counterfeit, and that's the Son of God, Christ. That is the only thing that is not counterfeit. There are a zillion other counterfeits out there, and the only point in educating people as to these other counterfeits is to direct them to the focus on Christ and His Father in heaven, because that is the only place that we will be sustained eternally. And everything else is a distraction.
And I agree with that. But we're dealing with two types of salvation. One is temporal and one is eternal. And they're both kind of intertwined, except, you know, secular people don't really have to subscribe to the eternal ones. You know, they don't really have to. But it helps if a society at large has customs that it embraces, like those Ten Commandments. Our forebears recognize those Ten Commandments as a foundational pillar for our laws. But each one of you understand that our inability to live uprightly regarding all 10 of those commandments, we could have never done. That's why we had to have a Savior, to give us our eternal salvation. But our temporal well-being was also connected with those 10 commandments. It gave us a pattern and a foundation for our laws, our temporal laws. But we, in our wisdom, have said that that's no longer applicable. And so...
Jim, stay with us for a second. I want to get... I want Charles to be able to get in a comment here, and then we'll come back to you in a second.
Hello, Terry?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah, brother.
We're hearing you loud and clear.
Well, yeah, I had what it is I actually had to quit the browser and just stay on the Skype because it would be the echo of the delay. So I can't post any links while I'm talking, but what part of this nightmare do you want to know about? I got 16. No, I'm serious. I got 16 billion years of history that I've uncovered in 62 years of life on this planet. All right. First of all, we're all enabled and we're gifted by the Holy Spirit because of our belief in, by the salvation of Christ Jesus, His Son, and you have enabled gifts. All right. And I can answer any, just about any question you want about this nightmare, going back 16 billion years since the creation of this dimension by our Father in heaven. What do you want to know? I mean,
at this juncture, though, the idea is that we don't need to go into all of that at this point.
No, we need to go back to the Gospels. What we need to do, just
exactly,
like you said. Exactly, brother. And by the way, I want to move next to you so I can maybe share your victory garden. I don't know what kind of harvest you're having this year. But, yeah, I mean, really, what had happened, all right, and believe it or not, one of the greatest gifts of God to any part of His creation is volition. In other words, that was what Red was talking about is the freedom of choice. Otherwise, His creation would be anatomical. In other words, it would be robotical, and it wouldn't be of free will. So what had happened is, yes, Lucifer rebelled, and him and all of his minions were expelled from heaven. That was about 16 billion years ago, okay? Now, and here's where we're going to start coming into the dichotomies, all right, and the dualities of Lucifer. Okay, when you come back to Lucifer, the best he can ever do is mimic the Almighty God, all right? All right, so God assigned him everything that was away from heaven, all right? And there are several dimensions, all right? Now, when Lucifer was expelled from heaven and all the other angels were expelled that were part of his, well, I don't know what you would say, his minions, okay? A lot of those angels said, oh, by the way, we didn't deserve to be expelled. We don't want to be a part of him. So there's where your dichotomy comes in, all right? Now, a lot of this New Age stuff that you hear, okay, right now, and if you've studied any of this, you're going to see that we have what's called the Ascendants, all right? All right, and this includes religions, everything, all right? It really does. And then there's the Descendants. Now, of course, the descendants are closer to Lucifer. Descendants, they didn't want anything to do with Lucifer. And the reason I'm saying this is when they were expelled, and this is part of the Ten Commandments, they stole from God Almighty a lot of his databases, all right? And that includes DNA. Now, let's fast forward, all right, to the creation of man. When was man created? Man was created in the Garden of Eden. Not human, but man. All right? Now, creation has four events, and out of that focus, there's four people groups, which are the patriarchs. All right? What God created in his image is the Hebrew race. All right? And that deals with the covenants, the Abrahamic covenants. All right?
Charles.
I don't know how far back you want to.
I think much of this is a distraction.
I really do. I believe that if we are to focus on what is genuine and focus on Christ, all the rest of this stuff really doesn't matter that much.
Well, Anna, right now we're experiencing the wrath of Lucifer. The wrath of God hasn't come yet. You realize that, right?
Well, I realize that God created Lucifer.
Well, yeah, amen. And he was expelled, and so was his minions.
And I believe that our country has turned its back on God, not Lucifer.
Oh, absolutely.
And
there's no doubt about it. Are you kidding me? Yeah, everything that Kate just said tonight was true. Even the previous caller, everything he said was true. And this show is amazing. I mean, you know, when I put this out, I put it out to thousands of people, and part of it is the apostasy. They don't have an interest, or they're doing other things, or like you said, they're distracted. I'm talking about the previous caller, what he was talking about. But yeah. No, right. Right now we have the apostasy in the pulpits, and Brother Robert McCurry just did a beautiful piece on his Wake Up Herald. I mean, the silence of the pulpits. I mean, it's amazing. It really is. I mean, I'm full agreement with you, of course. I mean, you know, when both of us grew up, I might be a little bit older than you. I'm 62, but when I was in fifth grade. Not in fifth grade, but in kindergarten, in public school, we had prayer. It was wonderful. I mean, I was a Missouri Synod Lutheran. I was baptized. I was in public school. We had prayer. It's like it was a continuation from my life at home into my schooling. I was such a happy child. And then everything went to hell in a handbasket in 1963 when Kennedy got assassinated. You know, go figure, right? Yeah, you know, the gospel is the most important thing that could ever be grasped by anybody that's born onto this planet. There's no doubt about it.
Yep, but, I would agree. Red, you want to come in and comment with Charles? Charles is, Red, you don't get to see our chat, so you don't recognize that Charles is one of our regular listeners and has been listening to our show for a long time and also helping us to even promote the show. So, you know, we give him a little slack here and there.
Yeah, well,
Red, do you have
I
any comment
Red.
For Charles?
Oh, I don't know. Hello.
I'm sure he muted himself. He'll be live here in a second.
Yeah, well, yeah, I see. Well, I had to quit my browser, too.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. The simplicity of the gospel is
Amen.
Something that we have missed and we've lost it. And Christ said that unless you come as a child,
that's
you're
it.
Not. You have to come and as a child and recognize that you're a sinner and you need the Lord Jesus Christ to come and dwell right within you. And live according to his word and his law. And we have a tendency to get entangled with all kinds of crazy things. And, of course, you can find just about anything in the Bible, you know, to fit, you know, people's... you know, theological wishful thinking, I guess. The simplicity of the gospel is something that we have lost. And I think that we need to go back to that. And I'm not so sure that God has allowed the drought, the terrible drought in the Midwest and such, and the high temperatures. And I think that God is, he's withholding blessings that we don't deserve. He's given them to us, so many blessings, and we have not given him the honor and the glory and the and
you only receive blessings through repentance.
Well,
God doesn't reward the sinner, my friend. I'm sorry, he doesn't.
Yeah, well, God, he reigns on the just and the unjust, both.
Exactly.
I think that I remember the 1930s so well. People were stressed out pretty serious. It's a different situation today. I tell people that that Obama will probably win re-election because he has bought a lot of people's vote with food stamps. And I said that with a certain amount of humor, but at the same time, there's some serious thinking there that went into that. People are going to the false god, government. When I read the Supreme Court decision where they took the Bible out of the classroom in 62 or 3, I said at that time that it was the federal God that we had now. We have the federal God rather than the true God, and we're in violation of the First Commandment. We've got too many gods before the true God. And so there's a lot. It's a long road back, perhaps, but we're going to have to make sure that we don't get sidetracked into different belief systems that really have nothing to do with our salvation. I am confronted with this all the time. Back when I first started being getting up on a soapbox and talking about our government back in the early 70s, I kind of did a mental evaluation, and I came to the conclusion that we were in a spiritual war, not a political war. And I still hold that position, and it's not very comforting when we think about the fact that we've been losing this war. The spiritual war is just not as visible as it should be. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is the spiritual, having the King of Kings on your side and being in this war for dominion of this planet. You remember the commission that was given to Adam? He was to take dominion. And that commission is ours today as well. And we have not been very successful. But I think that if we start analyzing things and recognizing the things around about us that are satanic counterfeits that have sidetracked us. We have allowed these satanic counterfeits to become so embedded in our minds and in our system that it's going to take some tremendous power, spiritual power on the part of our King to help these people, help us to get back on track. And so let's get the simplicity back into the gospel. I remember some of them old-time preachers. I'll tell you, they could get up and preach the same sermon over and over, night after night, and people would be convicted because, we don't convict anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts people. And this is why, and of course, we weren't just given the gift to be a preacher, we were to be witnesses. We've got to see the miraculous. We need to see the miraculous. And I'll tell you, we saw the miraculous all through the 30s up and into the mid-40s. We saw the miraculous, and we recognized it as the miraculous. Of course, being part of a family of seven children, in the 30s, and my parents refused to take welfare, we had some pretty slim pickings. Our grocery list was pretty short, and we depended. We were very dependent upon our God and His goodness to us and His blessings. And we thank God for what He did for us, and we knew where it was coming from. We knew the source of the help that we got and when we needed it. So I have a suspicion that we're going to see, you know, I think the federal God is going to go down, just like the USSR God went down in Russia in 1991. I think the federal God here, our Heavenly Father, is going to cause them to go down. And just what will happen, I don't know, but it's just, well, I said it back there when I read the decision where they took the Bible out of the public school classroom. There's no way that this federal God can survive violating the first commandment. And the second commandment tells us that God is a jealous God, and we need to teach that. We need to preach it. We need to testify to it. So I'll turn this back to Terry.
Well, Red, I have a thought that I would like to throw out to you and Kate. You know, Satan would even have you deny his own existence if he can persuade you to deny the existence of God. And right now, everybody is taking this anti-globalism position. In other words, we're basically being taught, if you will, by even what we've been saying on this show, that globalism is in general bad, that it's something to resist, it's something to fight against. Well, what happens to those people who are caught up in that when Christ comes? Will they not resist Christ's globalism? Any thought on that?
It's one of the complications, I guess, that we're going to run into.
It's
I don't
very
know. Let's get some more comment. Is there anybody?
Jim,
in
are
that?
You still live? Is Jim Borland still live or still on with us? Or
no,
Jim
dropped.
Okay.
I'd just like to say I think that is a very good question, and that gets at what I was talking about too, in terms of, you know, what do you say to those people who are working on Agenda 21 and globalism and so forth? This is really the crux, is that they're being deceived. And so it's almost finding another language, and I think it's the language of the gospel, to, again, discern the true globalism from the counterfeit globalism. And I think you hit it right on the nail, Terry. That is very, very good. So I'm want me to open up lines again and go from there?
If you've got people with their hands raised, yes.
Yeah. Let's bring here I go.
Hello?
You may announce what they're... Yes.
Hello?
We hear you. Who have we got?
Oh, this is Charles.
Hi, Charles.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You were talking about... No, Jesus won't come physically until the Battle of Armageddon. And that'll be at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. And I'm speaking right from the Bible. We're in the book of Revelation right now. I don't know if you folks know that, but I think you do. All right, so, okay. So, I mean, Jesus is going to meet us in the air during the rapture, but Christ isn't coming until the Battle of Armageddon. And then Satan, Lucifer, and his minions are going to be turned back to hell, and we're going to have a thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ at the New Jerusalem, all right? And that's the way it's going to pan out. I mean, you know? And I don't know if you've investigated Nibiru, but I blogged on this intensively. You can go out in the sky and see this thing right now. It's going to come 20 million miles within planet Earth. It has a 250,000-mile debris field, and this planet's going to be decimated. It's not going to be good. And this is all going to happen very soon. So I just want you to say to be ready, all right?
Charles,
you know,
do you believe that Nibiru is Satan thrown out of heaven?
No, absolutely not. No, it's a physical. What it is it happens every 3,600 years, and the evidence, the archaeological evidence on this planet indicates that. I've studied it, and you can go out in the sky right now with a sun filter and see that it's up there, right next to the sun. This is no lie we're living in. I'm telling you right now that this is going to happen.
There's been some very good scientists who disagree with that.
Oh, really? Well, when you go outside and get a sun filter, you look up there, you tell me what you see. You can take two pieces
of
polaroid.
It is to some extent an optical illusion, but it's also some sunspot activity.
It's not a sunspot when you're using your naked eye. And you're looking at this through a sun filter, and this object is in the peripheral to the side of the sun, and it's there.
When was the last time you did that?
Just the other day. All right. You get two pieces of Polaroid. Take a pair of sunglasses, pop the Polaroid lenses out. You can make yourself a sun filter, all right?
Do you know who James McCanney is?
No.
James McCanney is a very well-known scientist, and he has given a complete explanation of that particular visual, if you will. And the evidence is not conclusive that is the case.
Well, okay, it's like the witness of Jesus and what was written 2,000 years ago. I believe that explicitly, all right, because other people saw it. And I don't know what to tell you, all right? I'm just saying that everything that's going down is for you to be prepared, all right? I believe that the rapture is going to take place within 90 days. We don't have much time.
Okay, Charles, when you look at Scripture, what is the context of being caught up in the air? What, in every case where it's mentioned, what is the context? It's in the context of the day of the Lord. It is not in association with the tribulation.
No, I understand all that. There's several ways of looking at pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib rapture, all right? The Bible talks about the Lord coming back to rescue his bride, the church. And you're right. There's a lot of different ways of looking at this, all right? I believe I'm a pre-trib rapture believer, all right? I believe in that he will not allow his church to suffer. That's what I believe. And you have to be pure of heart. Again, we're going to go back to the Gospels. Matthew, 5, 6, and 7, all right? You want to look at the discourses. If you don't know what they are, search under the Internet. Discourses of Jesus, they'll come up. They'll pop up like light bulbs. And you need to study the Gospels. I mean, everything you guys are telling the truth tonight is true. I mean, it's all centered back to the Gospels of Christ. That's the only, you know what, the only truth we got on this planet is the gospel. If you think about it, Terry, it really is. It's the word of God.
To me is undisputable.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
And there are many who, you know, try to cast a different light on who and what Christ was.
Oh my God!
But the fact of the matter is, he did not leave anybody any choice in believing that he was just a good man or that he was just
a good prophet. There's no choice. No.
He's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord, and that's really the only choices you're left by listening to his own words.
Amen. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's all recorded.
I don't know whether or not the day of the Lord will come in the next 90 days. What I do believe is that Red is correct in that we need to pray that prayer, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And it's like Red said before, if you want to know whether a person's a true Christian, if they're really in Christ, they'll pray that prayer. They won't have a problem praying that prayer. But a lot of people have problem praying that prayer.
Well,
a lot of people in the churches have a problem praying that prayer. Red,
yes,
you want to make a comment about that?
The churches are clubs. That's what the problem is. A lot of them are hedonistic clubs.
Red,
yeah,
do you want to comment on that?
Can you hear me, Terry?
We hear you.
I'm convinced that that little test about whether they can pray that prayer, if people are not ready, you know, salvation and being ready to meet our Messiah King is such a personal thing. And, you know, if you're not ready, you're the one that's going to know. Nobody else. Your preacher isn't going to know, or anybody else. It's between you and your God whether you're ready or not. And if you're not ready, if you're not sure that you're ready, the last thing you want to see happen is for our Messiah King to come back. And so I love that prayer. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Now, if you can't pray that prayer in confidence, knowing that if he comes, if he answers that prayer, that you're going to be ready. Nobody else knows. Your preacher doesn't know. Your wife doesn't know. Your husband doesn't know. Your family doesn't know. It's a personal thing. And that's the way it has to be. If you're not ready, if you don't have that assurance in your heart that you're ready, and of course, you know, you can get into all these arguments about the rapture and all of that. I grew up with that. I heard all of the arguments and such. If you get tangled up with that, you're in trouble, because you're just going to get, your mind is going to be corrupted. It's going to be cluttered. Don't let it happen. Don't let that cluttering happen with a bunch of theological doctrine. Don't do it, because it will give you problems. Make sure you keep the gospel very, very simple. And as a small child, you forget all this stuff coming out there in the future. You can get all kinds of viewpoints from the scripture. The book of Isaiah has got a lot of material in it. I read some of it today. That was a thrill to me, but I had to remind myself, don't go getting into that trap where you say, oh, it's got to be this way or it's going to be that way. No, we don't know for sure how it's going to happen. But we just know that it is going to happen. And if you're not ready, there's only one person in the world that knows whether you're ready or whether you're not. And so just pray that prayer and mean it. And if you're not ready, I think you're going to be prompted by the Holy Spirit to get yourself in a better spiritual situation where you can know that you're ready to go. You have had your sins forgiven. You have excuse me, you prayed the sinner's prayer, and no, you read the word, and so I guess that's about all I need to say at this point. But don't get all cluttered down with, in my lifetime, I've seen all these different outfits say, well, on such and such a day, Christ is coming back, and they go out on a hillside someplace and wait, and then it doesn't happen, and so they kind of filter off and walk away and hope nobody sees them, I guess. But that's complicating the gospel. We don't need that. Back to you, Terry.
I'd like to hear what Kate's got to say at this point because, you know, Kate, you've been coming along here and I guess you'd say being fed with a fire hose and certainly a quick study on all of this. And some of the things you said tonight I thought were quite astute, and you were talking before when you got cut off before you were swearing to yourself, and I'm not sure you got to finish that thought.
Oh, never fear, I do finish my thoughts. no, I did. This is I really can't emphasize enough how much I agree with Red about keeping things simple. And I just want to point out that how much stuff that's going on the radio right now and on Blog Talk Radio about people predicting this and looking at the various signs, even the destruction of Damascus. You know, we've got to understand that the Luciferians know what's in the Bible, and they are going to try to counterfeit it and try to distract people. For example, as Red was talking about, okay, he's coming tomorrow, and I'm going to the hill, and I'm going to, you know, wait for him, and he doesn't show up. But you saw all the signs. Damascus is destroyed. This has happened. That has happened. This has happened. And it doesn't happen. So what is that? The discouragement? What happens then? The discouragement? The again saying, well, this can't be true. And I go back to my fundamental belief is he is our Savior. I don't need any proof. He is. I've seen miracles too, and we are going to see them. And I strongly agree that getting distracted on tribulation and rapture and these various things, it artificially puts certain individuals in a place where the masses follow them. And this is part of the weeding out that I think is happening. I think this is what is really happening. When you said, Terry, earlier, putting this message out in a church is going to divide people, I think Red responded that, yes, it's the separation that has to happen now. And this is his, you know, praise the Lord, his love for us, that he's giving us the last possible moment for us to open our eyes. Because surely we have fallen away so far that it's abomination. And so I just have to say beware false prophets and also beware of the false signs that are coming up, because for they too right now are Satan's counterfeit. who's destroying Damascus? Look at what's happening. Even thinking, you know, Obama is the Antichrist. These are very convenient for Satan, very convenient for us to focus on these things. And as we focus and work so hard on these things, we forget that we have to go back to God and our relationship with God and get ready and be ready. So I just think this has been a fascinating discussion, and that this is just a start of where we go from here. I think that the reason about the division in the church, the reason we have this technology, as Red points out, is this is the way we're going to have to throw that message out there. For example, you know, people driving in their cars, you pop in a CD of this information, and they are there by themselves in that car listening to that. And the Holy Spirit, if that's the person who is really open and there and to hear, will hear that. Just like my own testimony about what happened to me when I was on the road driving back through Nebraska to my home in Wyoming. That happened in a car, you know, and it brought me to my knees in terms of the realization and the repentance. So I guess this is my fire hose back, Terry. I think we're on the right track. I think simplicity is correct. I think that that although it is essential question that you raised, are those who are fighting globalism right now going to just be so anti-globalism they don't realize that that's a counterfeit, and that when the true globalism comes, that's the right way to go. So one of my questions was, you know, what do you tell people who are working on this Agenda 21 and New World Order? You tell them very simply what we've just said this whole evening about the true globalism, and that, you know, the work that can still happen, people who are still anti-Agenda 21 and anti-globalism, they can add those words too. They can see this in a much broader context and say we're fighting globalism because the true globalism is when our Savior returns. So I hope that, you know, at least captured what is my mind is racing right now and my heart. And for me right now, I guess I'd like to end right there, if that's okay with you.
That is. Red, we got about 6 or 7 minutes left. I want to give you some time to close out here with your thoughts.
Can you hear me?
We hear you.
I have to mute at times on kind of a bad cough. And anyway, the Ten Commandments. Have you ever heard anybody argue with the Ten Commandments as being the formula to create an orderly society? I don't think that we, you know, it's so simple. But there is the directions. There is the instructions how to live as God would have us to live. It doesn't say one single word about getting ready for a rapture or anything else. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to, you know, conduct our lives. And those Ten Commandments are so, they're just so comprehensive. I think there could be one more added to it, and it's a commandment that you see in different places in the Scripture. And that commandment is, be not deceived. Be not deceived. That's a commandment, too, and you'll find it in different places in the Scripture. It is a sin to be deceived. It's the kind of a sin that can determine where you are going to spend eternity. if you're deceived by the wrong information and deceived as Satan would try to do. So keep that one in mind. But the Ten Commandments themselves are so vital and so on target and so simple, so easy. I have challenged people, I've challenged audiences, I've been speaking in audiences around the United States of America for 30 years, I would say, sit down with a piece of paper and see if you can write 10 simple laws that would maintain, if we had them implemented, if we live by them, that would create an orderly society, a society like God would have us to have. You sit down and just try writing 10 laws, and you'll find that you're going to come up with a duplicate of the 10 Commandments. And so let's stay with the simple. Let's be aware of the fact that our minds have been, they've been tampered with. They have been polluted. They have been bent. They have been overwhelmed with that which is false. And propaganda is, there's a big market in the world for propaganda. And that would have a tendency, make the wrong decisions in life and such. If we were to stick with those Ten Commandments, I'll tell you, we would have an orderly society. We wouldn't have a government that has become a false god. We wouldn't have that. And so I'm watching my time here, and I've got to turn this back to you, Terry. But I think we have got some people thinking, hopefully. And let's hope and pray that we've been able to say something that would help someone. It's back to you, Terry.
Well, I just want to reiterate, we've only got about 2 minutes, but I want to reiterate that we have a global king coming our way. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's 10 years from now. I don't know if I'll live to see it. I don't know any of those things. I do know that we've been through a lot of tribulation. I know that we have definitely experienced wars and rumors of wars. I know that we have experienced this great falling away simply by the fact that I don't know that there's much more left to fall away. I mean, it's so so consuming. We simply have to get a message to those who are following the counterfeit, which may very well be the sign of Satan, the 666 concept, simply following these counterfeits may very well be that. We're already in a situation where we can't do business unless we are a part of this satanic system. We look at all of these prophecies and we have to recognize that most of these prophecies have already been experienced. And we also see that sometimes these things are like a cycle that happen over and over again. So it will come on most as a thief in the night. I think we have to be ready. We have to be aware. We have to keep oil in the lamp. And we have to focus on Christ. And I think that the only way that we're going to get inside the doors of these churches that are deceived is by a focus on Christ, because that will be the key that will open the door. Any final comment, Kate? I'm going to close us in prayer. Almighty God, we come before you in the name of your Son, because without him,
It doesn't matter what we think about the rapture or, you know, Nibiru, or it doesn't matter what we think about any of those things. If we don't have Christ covering our sin, then we don't stand a chance to be sustained eternally with you in heaven. And so that we are thankful for. We are thankful that there will be a global king, your son, the only king, the only one that will sustain us. And we're thankful, Father, that you have put this plan forward and that it's there for us to see and to accept that gift. We praise you for the gift of your love and the gift of your son. Amen.
What is the armies of the Lord? Picked up and dusted off their swords, about to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more. What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed, and those who bear his name would wholly seek his face, yeah, and turn from their wrong way? And what would happen if we